are aware that according to a group of prophetic preachers, that the world's going to come to an end here on the 27th and 28th of July. And that's all going to be over. And it's a blood moon, and talked about in Acts and Revelation. And because it's going to last about 3 hours here, the 27th or 28th eclipse, it's going to be the end of time.
And we're
going to
gather here in the church.
It just is.
July or August?
July. Yeah. Huh? Thursday, Friday.
Okay, well, we'll be up there Thursday night.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Holding hands, ready to go up. It's just amazing. In fact, on Wednesday night, a couple of weeks ago, we studied. You just don't want to get so involved in prophecy that you lose sight of the total plan of God. And there's so many things that are coming together, but there's still some things to be done. And but it's just amazing. We had a pre-trib conference several years ago. We had a speaker on the blood moon, and took care of all of that kind of stuff, explaining what's going on. But when God turns the moon to blood, let me assure you, it will not be an optical illusion. It will be reality. And so it's just one of those things people get involved in. And I guess since the late 1800s, maybe even before that, I guess, but there's always been somebody saying the world's going to come to an end. I remember in the 50s, and I don't know who the guy was, but his whole group went up to a mountaintop in California because it was going to end that day, that night. And they woke up the next morning and it's still there.
Make sure all of them sign their bank accounts over to him.
Yeah. Oh, such an unbelievable farce. People follow these kind of people. And I wonder how many of them could tell you how to be filled with the Spirit. I wonder how many of them could tell you the new commandment and how to do it. But they can tell you when the world's going to come to an end and be wrong. Okay. World coming to an end prophecy. I think the most important study in the Bible is the love of God, the love of Christ, and therefore the new commandment. And therefore, it is so confused, and so many people, their understanding of it. And I'm sorry, but not many understand that it cannot be done in the energy of the flesh. You cannot fulfill the new commandment in the energy of the flesh. So we're going to take our time in this study of spiritual love. And God willing, I'll get some of these things out in little booklets. But we'll just see. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer? Test yourself to see if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. It is our guide. It shows us you have a time set of history. It's not for us to know, nor will anyone know, when things are going to happen up until, Heavenly Father, the return of Christ. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will guide us in understanding how to love during the time that we live on earth. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Thank you. That's good. Purpose of spiritual love. Purpose of it. We'll study there are a multitude of purposes for spiritual love. Some are positive, some are negative. Spiritual love is not man-centered, for an example. It is not about man. Spiritual love glorifies God. Spiritual love glorifies Jesus Christ, which is why we're here. This is how we're going to do it. We can talk about worship. We can talk about evangelism. Talk about witnessing. On and on and on. But all of these are a result of spiritual love. I don't think there's any missionary that I've come across in my 70 years, 69 years as a believer that is more exemplifying of this than Bill and Pat Risley. They absolutely love the Lord. And their love of the Lord caused them to move to Mexico and spend their life in the Word of God with Mexicans, bringing multitudes to Christ. And so, just be in prayer. Pat is not doing well. Pat Risley. Pat, you're doing all right. Yeah, Pat Risley's not doing all right. And Bill told John that his life right now is devoted to keeping Pat alive. That Grady is really doing most of the ministry and the writings and things. And so please be in prayer for Pat and Bill. Be in prayer for the Risleys. For Grady and Cheryl. Be in prayer for Courtney. And as they continue to be a witness of Christ. But so there's a lot of things to deal with in understanding spiritual love. It glorifies Jesus Christ, not you. Human love glorifies us. I love you. Look how much I love you. All this kind of thing. So you should start to be able to understanding the Lord with the new commandment to love one another as He loved as a complex understanding. And while I'm at this point, please be in prayer. I beckon you every day, throughout the day, for camp. A lot of them are up there today, the adults, getting things ready. And Monday the kids start coming in. And so please be in prayer. Be in prayer. Tuesday, the subject is salvation. And I've got the older group. And I'm just going to tell them that some of you may know, but most of you probably don't. It's a very simple gospel, but it's very complex. And it's time you start being introduced to the complexity of the gospel. And I'm going to go through propitiation, redemption, imputation, justification, and all these kind of things. There are three things that they're going to need for salvation. Sins taken care of, God's righteousness, and God's life. And I hope that they can walk away with that understanding. Please be in prayer for Chris Day teaching, Jody Brown teaching, and for me teaching. Okay, spiritual love. This title guides you in understanding the multitude of aspects of this love. Spiritual love is just that. It's spiritual. And by the very designation, spiritual love, we show the sphere of this love. It's spiritual, not material, not related to this earth, and not going to pass away. It is eternal. The source of this love is the Spirit of God. God is Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the source of spiritual love in the humans. Therefore, it's spiritual love. This love is related to the supernatural makeup of each individual believer. When you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, 34 things happened, and one of those, you took on a supernatural element. And you became a new spiritual creation. And out of you, and only you, can flow this love. It cannot flow from any unbeliever. It can flow only through a born-again believer, and then only a born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit. This love is related to the spiritual makeup of every believer. While the manifestation may be visible. In other words, someone may see your kindness, but they will not see the spiritual makeup of this love. When you think of spiritual love, the source is spiritual, God the Holy Spirit. It comes in a spiritual being, you. It comes out of a spiritual being, you. It has spiritual impact. Romantic love has physical impact. Spiritual love has spiritual, eternal impact. That's where that's the impact that it has. So, let's take a look at the subject of spiritual love. We call this spiritual love because this love can come only from a spiritual being, therefore spiritual love, from a new spiritual creation, 1 Corinthians, it's what you are. Born again. And only a born again believer can have this love. An unbeliever can have unbelievable altruism, love of man, devote their life to it, and not even begin to touch spiritual love. Impact spiritually before God. I don't know. I've done as much reading as I possibly could gather up just on the Sunday night of writings on Sister Teresa. I have no confirmation that she is a believer in Jesus Christ. She may very well be. I hope she is. But she is devoted to mankind, as very few people are. I mean, she sacrificed everything. But if she is an unbeliever, it's for naught. It's for nothing. When we get back to 1 Corinthians 13, and yes, Jennifer, we're going to get back there. Get back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to see in three verses a life without love. You can have unbelievable knowledge, speak in all kinds of tongues, know all kinds of prophecy, know all mysteries, which is astounding. But if you do not have spiritual love, you're zero. Nothing before God. Nothing. So, there's so much that we need to understand about spiritual love. How it impacts every area of our lives. How it guides every area of our lives. I'm going to have to really fight not getting off this week on spiritual love. That's not really the subject. And I've got three good subjects we need to deal with. But I wish I had one more day for the love of Christ. But we if I make it through these 3 days, I'll be thankful. And so, please be in prayer. Now, we come to the creation of man. Man enters into existence born spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. This is difficult for a lot of people to understand today. I suppose 70 years ago it wouldn't be that difficult. But few preachers preach about it, talk about it. Few people even understand it. But when we're born into the world, we're born spiritually dead. This means we're born completely incapable of understanding God. Incapable of understanding God. Incapable. Impossible to have spiritual love come from you as an unbeliever. You may be wonderful. You may be high IQ. You may be able to read the Greek and Hebrew of the Bible and write books on it. But if you don't understand spiritual love, you don't have it. I can give you some names of people we had to study in seminary. They had books that would cover this wall right here. Never understood the gospel. Never understood spiritual love. And yet, we had to study in the seminary. Dramatized people. So, we got to understand how powerful spiritual love is. On the other hand, you can take a person with a, would you say, a low IQ, but they understand spiritual love? Wow. Dynamite. And at the judgment seat of Christ, rewards. Unbelievable rewards. So it has to do with understanding spiritual love. Having fellowship with God, and that includes loving God. To have fellowship with God, you got to love God. To love God, you got to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by faith. Otherwise, you don't have fellowship with God. And there's a lot of writings by people how they, the relationship with God, they do not even begin to understand spiritual love. That's the way we're born. We're born incapable of having the ability to understand God, love God, relationship with God. This is all made possible by the love of Christ on the cross. This is the same love He commands from you and me. Human love, let's talk about human love, that's the love we all know, comes from the creature, man, each of us, and therefore has another number of inherent problems. We have noted, for an example, that we sin. We fail. Now, if I wanted to take a look and we want to study human love, there are three categories of human love. There is phileo love, generally confined to family, friends. Romantic love, biblically confined to a member of the opposite sex, not the member of the same sex. And value love. Value love. See? One of my little hidden prayers, I pray that Katharina learns to love Texas. Now, I don't know if she will or not, but value love. You love a place. You love something. And I remember growing up, my mother, one of her ongoing things, you don't love food. I said, well, I just love this. You don't love food. Well, I really like it. It's just, there's a value love that we have to be careful of. Because a lot of people, their value love supersedes their love of God. Their value love will determine where they're going to go, not the plan of God. Not the plan of God. I read this morning about a preacher in the 1700s. Small church outside of London. Little church. A large church in London called him. And he was so excited. More people, more money, more everything, more opportunity. So, people in the church had about four wagons, it said, and they packed up all their stuff, and they're getting ready to go to London, and his wife broke down crying, how can we leave this place? And he said, I don't know how we can leave it. He said, unload everything, put it right back in the house where you took it out from. And he spent the next 35 years at that location, ministering to those people who loved him, whom he loved. And he never looked back, never regretted it. So, but if you're in love with promotion, success, getting there, he'd have lost it. No telling what would have happened in London of all places. So, under the idea that man is in love and under the world, living into the world, under condemnation, Adam's original sin imputed to the inherited sin nature. Secondly, human love. Every human is born spiritually dead, incapable of any relationship with God. Man is born with a human soul, human body, so that we can have fellowship with God. Once we are redeemed, once we are saved, once we are restored to God, human love cannot be any more than what the human is, though. Got to understand that. Human love can be no more than what the human being is. And unfortunately, a lot of people marry somebody thinking that that person is going to make them happy. That's not true. You can't depend on someone else to make you happy. Nor should you ever be so flattered, you make me happy, and they really mean it now, just in a superficial way, but I mean really mean it. You got to stand back and say, no, I can't make you happy because I'm going to let you down. I'm human. I'm going to fail you. And we got to keep this relationship going. So the idea, the sphere of humanity is frail. Human love cannot do any more than what man is. Think about it. Spiritual love, on the other hand, can do all that God is. Everything that God is can come through you. Now, we're born into a state of total depravity, which means, of course, that we come from man, and we are in the total depravity of man. And if you remember in the 10 questions of Job, three of those questions Satan includes, born of woman, born of woman. We think that's pretty normal and pretty good. Satan is pretty drastic. He wasn't born. Boom. One day he was, boom, there. Full. Absolute. And he looks down at man, born of woman, slimy water, all that, got to be cleaned up, got to grow, all these kind of things. So this is how we're the world we're born into. And nothing can come from us than depravity. Something that is depraved can only produce that which is depraved. An orange can only produce an orange. An apple, an apple. See? I know today they're trying to fool around where you have apple and pear and one fruit and all this kind of stuff. But just in God's design. See? In God's design. You can't produce any more than what you are. So you cannot produce something more than what you are. And if you are depraved, you can only produce something that is depraved. Now, even our righteousness is filthy before God. Think about that. Your best is filthy before God. It is impossible for man to produce righteousness. We are unrighteous before God. In fact, we are filthy. Minstrel clause, if you want to know what the Hebrew says, that's our righteousness before God. Waste. Throw it away. Get rid of it. That's God's view of our righteousness. And that righteousness cannot produce anything better than it is. So, it is impossible for man to produce righteousness. His virtue, his integrity, his love is filthy before God. Got to understand this. We desire for man to be moral, to develop integrity, a virtue, a function in citizenship. See? All these kind of things are wonderful in the human realm. But before God, they have no standard. I don't know if you know it or not, but in the writings of Martin Luther, these are the kinds of things that really caused the Catholic Church to revolt. Yes, it was the big thing, salvation by grace alone. But his statement like this, they did have no concept of this, that man cannot produce anything moral, anything good in his own right. And the Catholic priest and the Pope went crazy when he thought all this stuff. See? And man's values, man's morality, filthy rags before God. Man's virtue, filthy rags before God. Man's integrity, filthy rags before God. Man's love, filthy rags before God. Human love has no merit before God. We place a lot of value on it. We hope that the people we marry love us, and we love them. We hope our parents love us. All these kind of things. But before God, that has no value. No merit before God. None whatsoever. Only the love that comes from the Holy Spirit has value before God. So human love has no merit before God, no spiritual impact in history any more than man's righteousness. Man's righteousness has no integrity. Now, we've all in our society have seen movies where they make a big deal out of some hero, politically, military, altruistically, these kind of things. And it's all wonderful in the human realm. But don't transfer that to the spiritual, because it just isn't going to work. You're not going to do that. It isn't going to happen. We do a lot of work in the human realm, means nothing before God. People devote their lives to helping people. I think that's wonderful. But before God, it's nothing if they don't have the spiritual love and the Holy Spirit. But it gives them a sense of value. And what is so unfortunate, the church is failing in giving to people a sense of value if you just love one another as Christ loved. That's biblical. That's what we're here to do. So human love, like human morality, depends on the human being and is as weak as the human being is. It's all in the energy of the flesh. And people, you probably don't understand, flesh has no merit before God. No merit whatsoever. And it's dead. Dead works. That's what dead works are. Anything that comes from the flesh, dead works. That's what it is. One of the great problems of with understanding the gospel is of grace is a failure of understanding man can't do anything. I'm going to point out to the young people, if you don't correctly understand all the little complexities of the gospel, you're going to get off when you move into other doctrines. And I'm going to use the example of shooting a gun. If you're off a fraction, if the target is 10 feet away, you're probably going to hit pretty good. You move that target 25 feet away, might going to be off. Further away, you're going to be way off. Not even close. And this is what happens where you're off in the gospel. That's why you've got to understand. Why do people come up with you can lose your salvation? They come up with you're elected to salvation. Come up with you got to earn it, work for it. You got to keep it. Because they don't understand the intricacies. All that is involved in our salvation. And again, to any point where you're off, you're going to be way off as you go out to other things. And you're going to come up with a false gospel, false teaching, false understanding of what is truth. All of these things in the energy of the flesh. So, we're speaking of human love, phileo love, romantic love, value love. Three categories of love. Very important in the cosmos. Very important in human relationship. But nothing in the spiritual. Nothing, no impact at all in the angelic conflict before God. They are filthy rags and have no merit before God. And that's difficult to understand. Difficult to understand. Man's love for man has no merit before God. Man's love for man does not resolve the angelic conflict. Now, having said that, man's love for man, and that love is spiritual love, now you're in the conflict. Now you're in the warfare. Now you're in trouble. Because now Satan is going to attack and want to put an end to all of that. So, therefore, God the Holy Spirit is required for the unbeliever to even understand the gospel. That's why it's simple faith. Greater than mustard seed. A mustard seed doesn't understand hardly anything. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Boom. Simple. Complex, but very simple as far as it's a work. And the moment someone puts that kind of faith a new spiritual creature, and guess what? God is in them. That's remarkable. God is in them. You can look at a sinner who is a believer. God is in them. God, the Holy Spirit, does not leave them. They commit murder? Yes. Yes, they can. They can commit murder. They can commit worse than murder. Pedophile. These kind of things. And God is in them. But they're not allowing Him to have any influence over their life. That's why in Galatians 5, it's very important. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. That's a powerful phrase. It's a powerful concept that we have inside of us. See? The subject of spiritual love. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. And let's read verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, if. How do you get in Christ? By faith in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Little statements like that, if anyone is in Christ, there's a whole lot behind that. First you've got to have faith in Christ, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He is a new creature. New creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all of here, when we believe in Christ, we don't feel any different. It's not an emotional experience. We certainly don't look any different. We certainly don't act any different. But it's unbelievable the things that have happened. You've become a new creation. We all wonder at the birth of a child, the little baby. It's just amazing. I still am overwhelmed. I'm not a father, legitimate, you know, my own children. But when David Smith and his wife had a child, I was there with him. And I think Courtney was probably, well, I know she's less than an hour old. And David handed her to me. Scared me to death. I looked at Courtney and okay, she said, yeah. And just this little baby. It's just amazing. A new creation. A new being right there. See? Well, people, that's what you became the moment you believed in Christ. A new spiritual creation. This thing of spiritual and physical is really a complex study. I had a really interesting discussion yesterday with John Hintz. He calls. And he said, I've been thinking. And I went, uh-oh. I really went, uh-oh. And he said, all right, let's talk about these things. Now, let's talk about when we are saved, are we physical or spiritual? And we just kept talking, and it got deeper and more confusing. And what we came to understand is, it's spiritual, but when you receive your resurrected body, that's eternal. So it's visible. Because we were talking about invisible, invisible. Is something invisible, spiritual, and eternal? Well, the resurrected body is spiritual and eternal. But we just kept going and going. I said, John, it's confusing to me, and I hope you don't confuse your people. He said, well, how can I not confuse them? I'm confused. But the whole idea, but we have to think in the terms of spiritual. And that much I did appreciate of our conversation. We got to understand, what is spiritual? What is it? What are we talking about? We're talking about something unique. We ask someone, have you ever believed in Jesus Christ as Savior? We're asking them, are they a new spiritual creature and will they be eternity with me? It's just as amazing what we're talking about. Well, I got to move on. So, therefore, if any man is in Christ, to those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, that's the only way you're going to be in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there are a lot of doctrines being in Christ. He is, absolute status quo, a new creature. Is. You get that? Is. It's yours. You don't lose it. I'm totally amazed at people who want to say you can lose your salvation. Look at all they have to undo. Look at all they have to undo that God has done. God made us a new creation. So God says, I'm taking away your new creation. Boop, you're no longer a new creature. Well, I changed my mind, I believe in Christ. Okay, you're a new creature again. That's not God. It's not an Operation Yo-Yo. See? That's like a parent. Well, you know, you cried all night last night, I'm taking you back to the hospital. See? You can't do it. It's there. You're a creature. You're in the world. Even if you die then, you live eternally. So this is the way it is spiritually. We are a new creature, new creation in Christ. Cannot be undone. You are a new creature. We have the same word for new that Jesus Christ used in John 13, a new commandment. The new commandment is for a new creation. I think that's beautiful. New commandment for a new creation coming on the scene very shortly after he gave the word, the command. Something that did not exist before. The new commandment never existed before because Christ hadn't existed before. The new creature was before as new, never existed before. You are a new creation in Christ. Something that did not exist before. Now, define new creature. Creation, that which is created, this is result of regeneration. It's a result of our salvation, a new spiritual creation. What does that tell you? You're created by God. You're created by God. Your soul was created by God in the first birth. You are a new creature in Christ. A new creation. You didn't feel any different. But you're different. And you'll be different for all eternity. A new spiritual creation. This may be difficult for many people to comprehend. What does it mean, a new spiritual creation? I'm still the same after salvation. As far as I can see, I haven't changed at all. My vocabulary hasn't changed. I don't make better grades in school. I don't change my personality. Even my morality hasn't changed immediately. Nothing's really changed. How do I know I'm a new spiritual creation in Christ? People, we have to believe the Word of God. We have to believe the Word of God. There are other references to the new spiritual creation. John 4:23. We won't take time to read there, but an hour is coming. In fact, now is when the true... Well, let's turn to it. We got time. John 4:23. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Katharina, I love the journey you're on, and I just want to encourage you in English books of the Bible and all. Just sit down and look at the table of content and study it. Because I understand, when I took Hebrew, well, it took me quite a while. Till one day I just sat down, looked at the table of content, the Old Testament books in Hebrew. And I just, okay. And it made sense. So, don't be afraid of table of content. It's your best friend. It's your best friend, table of content. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the English. It's your It's your favorite friend. And learn to use it. All right, let's look at John 4:23. But an hour is coming, and now is. Now is deals with Acts chapter 1 and 2. That's what he's including here. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. That's a powerful phrase. You talk about being a racist, boy, tell people they're not true worshipers of God, if they're not believers, go to church, do all this stuff. So let's take a look at what we got. But an hour is coming, in fact now is, reference to the change in history of Acts chapter 1 and 2, and when the true worshipers, alright, what does this tell you? There are false worshipers. There are false worshipers of God all over the world. All over the world. False worshipers. People are not worshiping God in truth. So, now, shall worship the Father. That's who we worship. We worship God the Father. Never forget why Christ came. People, I want to love is Christ. I hope I can, on the last day, introduce these young people to how Christ can be their friend. He's the center of our lives. We want to imitate Him. But why did He come? He came to take us to the Father. Don't ever forget that. The reason you and I can pray, every time you pray, I don't care if it's, Father, thank you for this food. See? I don't care what it is. It's because Jesus Christ gave you that privilege. That's why He came. He came to take us to the Father. God the Holy Spirit comes to take us to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes us to God the Father, His Father, our Father. That's who we worship. That's who we pray to. All right, let's take a look now. Worshippers, they shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. People, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He's not talking about worshiping Himself. He's talking about worshiping His Father. See? And this is the Spirit. All right? The true shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Spirit in the Holy Spirit. They're able to worship now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for such people. Now, in the Greek, this is toi outas. And it could be translated, such a kind. That is a new kind. A new breed. Referring to a category of people, a breed of people, who are different from all other people, not only on earth today, but through all history. You are new than the believers from Genesis to Abraham. You are new from the time of Abraham to Jesus Christ. The type of people you are has never existed before. Never. Born again. I always like to use an example. Born again believers in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar believed in Christ and wrote a pamphlet, sent over the Messiah and sent over His kingdom. There are people in Babylon that will be in heaven forever and ever. They know nothing. They were not used of God, served God. They were just saved. You're not them. You are in the battle. You're used of God. God plans on you being used. You are a new breed of people. A different kind of believer. Not just different from an unbeliever. Not just different from an unbeliever. A different from believers. You're different than Jewish believers. You're different from this the Samaritan believers, which this woman is from. You're different. Never before on earth. See, God the Father is recruiting a new breed of people to worship Him. The new breed is unlike any believer that has ever existed before on earth. A new breed will worship Him in a new way. Spirit and truth. Truth, who and what He is. Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, we are called by the Lord, new breed of people. We're called by Paul, a new creation. That's what you are, people. A new breed of people, a new creation. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Young pastor, follow Paul, Gentile. Can you believe Jewish believers wanted to go to the spa and check out and see if Titus had been circumcised? Can you believe, how would you like that for your assignment? Go to the spa and see if Titus has been circumcised. Forget it. I'm not doing it. But he was a Gentile believer and a wonderful believer. Let's look at Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14. The last line on the verse 13, appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. That's what you are, people. A new breed of people. From what you and I are. Who gave Himself, reference to Jesus Christ, for us, in our behalf. His substitutionary atonement on the cross. In order that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. And purify for Himself. Purify means to manufacture for Himself a people for His own possession. Now, I hope you see what's going on, because this is a little complex. A people for Christ, a new breed to worship God. People in Christ, new breed that worships God. So the Father and the Son are closely related here. We're new in Christ. Look what it says. For His own possession, we belong to Christ. God says we're a new breed to worship Him. So, in Christ, we worship God. It's an unbelievable deal what they have done here in this respect. For His own possession. See? We belong to Him. So, who and what are we? New spiritual creation. New breed. Peculiar possession. Don't go too far with peculiar. Because you could say that, you know, now I know, you've always been peculiar to me. Now I understand it. No, that's not what it means. Because we're peculiar in our human realm, has nothing to do with being peculiar people before God. And therefore, so we have a new breed, a peculiar possession, a new spiritual creation. Therefore, what's going to be needed? A new love. A new spiritual love. See? A new love that has never existed on earth before. The creatures never existed before. The love that comes from you has never existed before. Think about that. Don't think about 2,000 years of human history. Think about where you are right now. And your love is new. It's new. People in the world today have never seen it before. See? And if they're ever going to see it, they're not going to see it from Christ because He's not here. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. If you're going to see this love, it's going to be through you and me. At the grocery store, at work, at the local church, or even worse, in your own family. See? Not worse, more difficult. All these kind of things. They're going to see a love that they've not seen anywhere else. That's going to be in Christ. Coming through you. His love coming through you. Okay. Man is born spiritually dead, and that includes the capacity to love, new birth, new capacity to love, and right here is where we're going to pick it up because I got just 3 minutes and I'd repeat where we are. So let's close in a word of prayer and begin here next Sunday morning. Now next Sunday is going to be a big day here. Next Sunday morning we will have this class. But the next class, we're going to have pictures from the camp and probably some testimonies from the camp and different things like that. So next Sunday morning you'll want to be here to enjoy the fruits of what's been going on over this last week at camp. Please be in prayer. Be in prayer for the weather. Be in prayer for the young people. They will listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. A new breed. A new creation. A peculiar possession of Jesus Christ. It's kind of overwhelming to consider all that we are. Father, I pray your Spirit to take the things we've seen this morning, let them become a reality in our soul, have an impact in our life. To this end we pray in Christ's name. Amen.